This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Welcome to all of you who are joining us today. And today is lunch with Meredith and Felice, and Meredith Curtis is with me on the line. Welcome, Meredith.
Felice, thank you so much for having me. It's so great to be here, and I'm excited to talk about our kids today, especially our older kids.
Right, and today we're going to talk about kids growing up and moving on, and it really is going to be a bittersweet session because this is what we strive for. You know, we've got these little ones that were growing up to love the Lord, and, you know, we pick out this curriculum that we want our kids to use, you know, that glorifies God, and, you know, we work so hard toward this day, and then when it comes, you know, it can be very difficult. I remember a friend, Meredith, that I love her to death. She's one of my best friends, and she's Chilean, and she came to this country as a tennis player. She was the tennis player national champion in her country. So she got a scholarship and came to the U.S. and played tennis and ended up getting married and homeschooling. And so, you know, she would always say to me when her daughter was really little and my daughter was 12, you know, Felice, are you worried about someday when they grow up and get married? And promise me that when Christina gets married, I can come, you know, and help with picking out the wedding dress and all this stuff. And, you know, my daughter's 12, hers is like 6. and so I remember the day when I called Christina and I said to her, her name is Christina too, it gets confusing. I said, Christina, guess where we are? And I don't know where you are, but can you meet us here? And we were starting our journey for looking for a wedding dress for my Christina. And so we've celebrated a lot of things together. And, you know, she kind of prepared me, Meredith, if you can imagine, when my daughter was only 12. And that's so many years ago because my daughter's now 31. I can't even believe I have a daughter that old.
Wow.
But, you know, did you ever consider... just when they were younger, you know, did you look at them and kind of foresee this day? Because I want to set the scene a little bit. Meredith's daughter is getting married this month as we record in June of 2014. And I have been invited to the wedding and have my hotel room. Jeff and I are coming and we're really excited to be there to help with anything Meredith needs or, you know, any last-minute things, and so this is your first wedding and really your first child that is moving on.
Yes, and it is a very emotional time. And it's funny because I'm a very long-range planner, so when my children were very little, I would always pray over them and plan to equip them for what God called for, you know, had called for them as an adult. But somehow I imagined it so differently, I didn't realize how hard it would be to see them leave. And I think, you know, I had this picture that didn't involve the emotion of so excited and yet so sad because there's such a joy in your household, and then they're not going to be there. And so I think, yes, I did plan, and yes, I did think about it all the time, but I had a completely unrealistic picture of what it would actually look like.
Oh, and you know, I am not a long-term planner. I try to sketch things out, Meredith, you know me. I'm more of a, oh, this is a great idea, let's do it. And, you know, I want to have it all implemented and everything that second. And so Christina knew my story with my husband, and that was we had a very short engagement. I knew him for years before, but more of I knew him at a distance. We went to the same college, and he seemed like a, you know, very godly man. And I would see him at church. But I didn't really know him that well. I knew a lot of people who knew him, and we went to a small college. But when we met, we were both teaching and both had jobs and had both graduated from college. So Jeff doesn't really like me to tell a story because from our first date until we were engaged, it was, I think, 2 months, and then we were married within 8 months. So we went out before Christmas, and then we were married in August of the following year. And
wow.
My daughter ended up following in my footsteps they were ready to get married and had graduated and had jobs and didn't want to wait. And so, we really managed to get this wedding together fairly quickly. On the other hand, I think that sometimes, there's these big, long engagements. And I know I had a cousin who dated this young girl for years. I want to say 5 or 6 years before they finally got married. And I think that's the other extreme. That's going,
right.
It's way too long and there's just too many temptations that can come into play there. So, we prepare and, one of the things that we're going to discuss, obviously, is praying for them. And I remember praying for a spouse, for Christina, whenever I would sit down to nurse one of my little ones. I was sitting down and you've got that time and, one of my children had a really difficult time going down for naps and I would really resent the fact that I had to lay down and get him, set up for his nap. But I tried to turn that, irritation into a time I could pray. And then it became more of a blessed time. And it was a very short time that I had to do that anyway. But, and I remember praying for a spouse for my daughter. And I know you've done that. And you've asked me to pray. And I prayed for your girls. And so, let's talk about that and start there with praying praying for them as they move on and also for a godly man.
Well, I think prayer is such an integral part of the success in our children's lives and, of course in our own, but the covering that we give our children, I think the prayer covering that we give our children is probably the biggest blessing that we do give our children once they have moved on, gotten married and established their own households is that to seek God. And I know my daughter and her husband to be found a house. They're closing on a house next week, getting married in 2 weeks. And so and then of course there's all the surprise, financial things of that and then their responsibilities, of different little things in the wedding, although, Mike and I are paying the wedding, but they're buying gifts for their, people and all that. So there's all these financial things. And, I'm like, oh, I can't help them because, I don't, I'm spending all this money on the wedding. And should
right.
I even help them? And then the Lord just reminding me, I have all the money in the whole world. Just ask me to take care of them. And, so, of course, just time after time through their engagement, like it didn't look like a house was going to come through. And so, I knew that was really a desire of their heart. And so I just spent an entire day just praying and praying for it. And they got this amazing house in this very safe, wonderful neighborhood. And, so I have really kind of been a prayer warrior for them through all these different things that they're going through. And then praying for my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, I've done that for a long time because I want to have a heritage of mm-hmm. generation after generation that serves the Lord. So
oh,
I think prayer
wonderful.
Is foundational. Yeah.
That's is so true, and I totally agree. And what's so amazing is, the same kind of things happened here with the wedding because they found a place that was on the beach. We had a church service, and then we went for the other part of it. And it was so costly per person, food and all of that. So we were really praying about what to do because we didn't want to hurt people's feelings that weren't going to be invited to the wedding, just because between family and some very close friends, you know, it was really difficult. And
right.
Also there was a limit to the number of people that this room could hold. So that was another limitation, or we probably would have added a few people. But we ended up having a separate party so that people could come and celebrate, and that was a real blessing. And we even said, you know, don't bring presents. It was, and some people still did, but it was more of a, you know, like an engagement party, and just, you know, and of course everybody was invited to the church service. So there's so much that goes into a wedding that you don't realize. And you know, the same thing with us, that, you know, they couldn't buy a house at the very beginning, but they saved and they waited, and they have a really nice house now. And, you know, it's, I think there comes this sense of accomplishment when they can do it on their own. You know, it's
yes.
nice to want to spoil them, because they're our kids, even though they're big kids, we still want to do that. And so, you know, it just, to me, it's so much better when the Lord works it all out, because it just seems like, you know, he's got his hand in it, and we're, you know, really storming heaven. So I really love that. And, you know, I know that there have been some things that have been the hardest thing for me about seeing them growing up. And, you know, for me, it's really the day-to-day. Like, I counted on Christina a lot. We tease her and say, you know, I just don't know how I was able to do anything after you left, because, you know, she did help a lot. You know, we have different versions of how much she really helped, because she was in college when the three little ones came along. And then also, and she's funny, she says she doesn't even really remember Michael as a baby. And I said, well, that's because you were really, you know, you were in college, so she'd come home and study and leave and, you know, all of that stuff. She did live at home while she attended a nearby university, so we were really blessed to have her here. But, you know, she just, you know, but I knew, even though I didn't see her all the time, Meredith, I knew that she was home. And then the first, you know, couple of weeks after she got married and she wasn't here anymore, I would go to, you know, say, go upstairs or call her, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I have to get on the phone and call her, because she's not
yeah.
here. Or just when in the evenings, that was hard, you know, like dinner time and expecting her to come back. And so, you know, things like that were taking some time and adjustment. But I have to say that the blessing is that our son-in-law is so awesome. And we gained a person, you know, like I got to add another son to my family that really has, as my one friend said, you know, and it's really so true, you know, like you hear things that, well, you don't marry the family. And I say you do, because he did embrace our entire family. And there's a lot of us to embrace, you know. I've got an older son, I've got little kids, you know, and my dad, you know, Grandpa Nick, and, you know, he did. He had a mom and a brother, and his dad died some time ago. And so that's a huge adjustment from going to a small family to this mega family. And
yes.
so, you know, but that was the hardest thing, was just knowing that, you know, not remembering, I guess, that she wasn't here. So,
right.
you know, you haven't had that yet, but is there something that you've known? Because I know you've got older children that work outside of the home, and you've got children that are in college. So I know there is some facet of that still in your life.
Well, yeah, there really is, because once the kids, all my kids have commuted to college, but their commute was a long one, 45 minutes. So they were, you know, gone most of the day. And then when they graduated from college, my daughter Juliana works. And so it is an adjustment. I've been so blessed that this year she's able to work from home on Wednesdays. So, you know, she's up in her room and I can pop in and say hey to her. But yeah, Juliana was my second daughter, and she was so administrative. And you know, I would say, okay, Jude, we're going to, you know, go to on a field trip today. And she would get all the little ones ready and pack up the lunch and, you know, have us all ready to go. And I got very spoiled. And when she went away to college, I was lost. You know, I was late everywhere for about a month until I got used to doing all that myself again. And so it is an adjustment, you know, and you miss just the homeschooling day, you know, with the older ones, because it's so fun to learn together. And, you know, my son and I are going to be alone this year. So we have two more years, and my fourth daughter just graduated from high school, so she'll be starting college. And it is an adjustment. It's, you know, you miss them, and then you're so happy when they're home. But when they're in college, they have so much studying to do that when they are home, they're, you know, studying, writing papers. So there are those different seasons. I've been very blessed to have my adult children at home, because we have so much fun. It's like living in a dorm room, you know, with all my friends from college, because they're really a lot of fun.
Can I share my first experience of spending the night at your house?
Sure.
I don't know if you remember this. It was really funny. And so I, you know, Meredith asked me to come speak at a conference there. And I said, sure, you know, I'd be happy to do that. And she said, well, you know, we've got this budget, and so we'd like you to stay with us. And I said, sure, I'll do that. That will be fun. And so, you know, she gave me a room, one of the kids' rooms, and it has, you know, attached bathroom. And she even left me a drawer with towels and chocolates. They were, like, really spoiling me. I felt like I was at better than a five-star hotel. And so, anyway, after the first evening, we were back home, and I was getting some things out of my suitcase, and I hear this knock on my door, and I guess I was sitting on the bed, and I said, come in. And so, like, five of you guys run in and just jump on the bed. It's like we're having a pajama party or something. And he says, oh, this is our welcome to you for staying at our house, and we just want, you know, come hang out a little bit before you go to bed. And it was just really fun, and I felt like I was back in school, where I had, you know, all my friends coming and hanging out for a few minutes and, you know, can I get you anything and everything. So it was really fun. But you have this extended family, and I know you have this open door policy where, you know, kids have been known to crash at your house and everything, and or you've got people that have some extended stay going on, you know, as they get their lives together. So, you know, it does get difficult at some points to let go. And, you know, one thing I want to read really quick that's here in the chat room from one of our listeners, Denise, and then I wanted to talk to you about you know, letting go and how to find balance and so forth. So Denise said she was a mom of a bride, and she goes, as a former mother of a bride, the hardest part was dealing with emotions from the mother and father of the groom. It was something I hadn't planned for, and I spent a lot of time in prayer over that. And she said she had known this mom for many years, and she had three boys and no daughters, and it was hard for her to only be the mom of the groom. So, you know, and it went, she said the same thing. He was from a small family and came into a mega family. So, you know, sometimes it's hard because there are some things that are out of your control, you know, and we found that with my son-in-law and extended family, that there are things out of our control. And I think that the Lord has just given me a lot of grace, Meredith, because my personality is to micromanage. I am an okay manager. I can, you know, give out orders and, you know, I want all this stuff done. But I then tend to micromanage. And so I feel like God has just given me the grace to not meddle. And, and you know, whereas on the other hand, you know, on the other side of the family, there's been some of that, and it's not been taken well. And so, you know, there are some things where I might say a few things, but like an example is
if the kids, the little kids, I have grandkids now, they're at my house and they decide to jump on the couch, I can say to them, you know, Grandma doesn't want you to do that. But if I'm at my daughter's house and they're jumping on the couch, I'm not going to say anything to them because their parents are right there. Do you know what
right.
I'm saying? So there's this line, you know, if you're at my house, I expect you to do this, even if your mom lets you do it at your house. And with the first couple, she was very strict, and, you know, she's expecting her sixth now. So she still has great kids. I mean, we go out to eat with everyone, all of her little ones and all of my family, and we get hit with, you know, gratuity even at the smaller restaurants. But people will come up to us and say how well-behaved your children are. So, you know, for the most part, they come over here and they're just so excited to see everybody and run around. And you have to, like, when they walk in, you stand still because you're going to get knocked over otherwise. You have these little ones, Grandma, I can run and give you hugs. Even if you've seen them 2 minutes ago, they're just, like, so excited to see everyone. And so, you know, that's just one thing that I would say that has really been, I really feel like it's a gift from God. Because normally I don't have any trouble on a field trip if someone's really misbehaving, you know, or kid's going to step out on the road, to pull the kid back and say, you know, don't do that or don't touch that. It's the teacher in,
right.
I call it the teacher in me. So, you know, what is the balance between, you know, you've got adult kids and there are some things that they want your advice on, and we still see them do some things that we would rather they not do, or choices that they make, you know, let's say financial or something like that. So, you know, I'm just throwing some things out there. But, you know, what do you find? You know, is there some sort of balance between giving advice and meddling?
Well, I think with my adult kids, I usually try to wait until they come to me. And there are exceptions, you know, like if, for instance, my kids will usually come to both their dad and I. Juliana had been offered a promotion, and she just wasn't sure if it would be too many hours. She's very involved in ministry at the church. And so she, you know, she went to her dad, she talked to him, she came to me, she talked to me. She asked us to pray, and, you know, we gave her pros and cons, but we didn't necessarily say, you should do this, or, you know, you should do this. But we did, you know, give her pros and cons on both ways. And then, but recently my daughter, who just graduated from college, she was, you know, a little bit discouraged. You know, she doesn't have a job yet. She's only been graduated for 2 weeks. And so I, you know, took her aside and I encouraged her, and I gave her, you know, some suggestions and asked her to talk to a couple of different people. And, you know, and so I guess, you know, in that way I was kind of giving, you know, interfering.
Right.
But a lot, I try to let them, the hardest thing is, you know, trying to let them make mistakes. And, but I have, you know, already said to my daughter and her future husband, you know what, how you raise your children, I'm not going to, you know, you call the shots. And if you have rules for your children, I'll enforce them at my house, even if I don't agree
right.
with them. Because I really have always believed very strongly that God gives authority to parents to raise their children. And so, you know, I can't say, you know, how I'm going to do. I hope I do really well when there's a new household. Because at this point, you know, I have daughters. My son is still in high school, and they're very much committed to being under their dad's protection, and they're very much committed to seeking our counsel on everything. So, you know, I don't have a lot of practice yet with not meddling, but I hope to be a non-meddler.
Oh, that's too funny. Well, I've had lots of practice because I can't believe she's been married since 2004. And wow. It's been, yeah, quite a while. So I've had a lot of practice at this point, and you know, my son-in-law is really, really great about some things, but you know, there are some things that I've done that are meddling. For example, the little one, Ben, has had a couple of little visits to the hospital, and when he was a baby, there was a scare because of a fever, and, you know, it all turned out okay, but he had to have a little stint in the hospital, and then this horrible accident happened where his little hand got caught, and so he had to have stitches and a cast, and it's great now, but, you know, I don't do hospitals very well. And on a good day, which is amazing, with all these kids, you would think, you know, you'd be a pro. But my kids have, praise God, all these years, we haven't had the broken bones. I mean, Christina's kids, one of them had like a hairline fracture and a cast. But anyway, so when I brought everyone back from the hospital, except, of course, Christina and Billy and Ben were at the hospital, and that's where I you know, put in meddling here. I had little ones, and I traded her my my suburbanish Yukon SUV for her minivan because she had all the car seats, and I was taking back the four kids. So when I got here, Maris, I had all this nervous energy, and I had these little ones, you know, that were excited, and then I had the other two that are trying to get school done. So I said to the little ones, you know, I always keep bathing suits at my house, and I said, we're going to put bathing suits on, and we're going to go clean your car, because it was a train wreck between, you know, Cheerios and sippy cups. I mean, we took car seats out. We cleaned car seats. I had this, like, non-toxic soap. I gave everybody, I mean, what better thing for little kids than a bucket with water and a scrub brush and a hose?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can't even tell you all the stuff we found. A lot of science experiments, but we cleaned that car from top to bottom, you know, and I thought, you know, talk about meddling. Of course, my daughter was thankful and everything, but it was, you know, it was just, you know, not something that I would normally think to do. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if you do things that are overstepping a little bit, like, you know, if you're going to go in and just clean up somebody's room or something like that, you know, ask. And don't just think that it's all going to be appreciated, because you'll be surprised at what is and what's not. But we're going to take a really quick commercial break, and when we come back, we are going to discuss many issues, when to help and when not to. So we'll be right back.
My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another Labor of Love is a three-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this ultimate homeschool radio network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American history and an American government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much, and hope to meet you soon.
Hi, and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms Lunch with Meredith and Felice. And one thing I want to tell you, too, guys, is that Meredith Curtis has some amazing books, and you can find quite a few of them in our shopping cart at Media Angels. And also, I'll be adding more books in the upcoming months. Meredith and I have been, I think we've tried for about a year now to get the rest of your books up on my shopping cart, Meredith. But one of the things I want to say is I do not, as a matter of course, sell other people's curriculum, but Meredith's got so many great books that I've used quite a few of them myself with my children, and she's got some really good Bible studies for boys and for girls. So you will want to check those out. And from time to time, we have some amazing discounts and specials. So Media Angels has a list on the website, but also the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network that you are listening to right now has a subscribe list. And so that's where you'll get most of your information about upcoming sales from our show host. And the other thing I want to give a shout out about is on Mondays, you may not realize, especially the first Monday of the month, we have an amazing lineup, and three of us have live events on Mondays, and this Vintage Homeschool Moms is at noon on Monday, and then at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, Meredith has the Finish Well show, so you'll want to check that out, and it really is for teens and for those who are, you know, getting ready to graduate, and she's got some great topics there. And then at 9 o'clock in the evening, also Eastern Time, Hal and Melanie host a show, and that one is really great for parents. And I love that in all of these two shows that there is, you know, some interaction with other members of the cast, if you will. And Hal and Melanie do the show together. They're husband and wife, and it's called Making Biblical Family Life Practical. So I just want to give those other first Monday of the month shows a shout out. And we've also been updating our website, and you can just go to ultimatehomeschoolradionetwork.com and scroll down, and we've got the latest shows right there on the front page. So we are making some changes and really moving forward because we've had so many great opportunities here. But before we took our break, we were going to be talking about money issues and when to help out and when not. So I don't know, Meredith, do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, I do think, I know my parents. My husband and I got married, and then after a few years, he went to seminary, and that was a very lean time financially. And one thing my parents did that I thought was very wise, they never helped us pay a bill. They did. You know, they did help out by buying clothes for the kids or taking, you know, my husband or I shopping for, you know, a suit or new clothes or, so they were definitely helpful and things like that. They would, when they came to visit, they would take us out to dinner. They would go shopping and stock up the kitchen and, you know, so they did give to us very, very generously. And without their generosity, we couldn't have made it through those years. But they never paid a bill for us. And I think that really helped us to put our trust in the Lord and really work hard and learn to be very, very frugal. And so I'm very grateful that they didn't rescue us, because they could have. They could have said, oh, well, we'll, you know, we'll just pay these bills for you. And I think if they had, we wouldn't have had the financial discipline that we have today. So I'm very grateful for that. And that's kind of what I'm going to do as a standard. Like, I'm not going to help them pay their bills, any of my children, but I will, you know, say, buy clothes for them, or, you know, bring some groceries to them, or help out with some extra things that they would enjoy but they can't afford. So that is, I think, I really appreciated my parents' standards, and I think that's what I'm going to live by with my adult children.
I love that. And you know what? My parents did help us out with certain things. And I think one of the reasons, for example, like we had a place for a refrigerator in our first house, and it was very, very small. So to replace it, I remember it was astronomical back then. I think it was like $1,000, you know, in 1979, 1980. I mean, it's a lot of money for a refrigerator back then. And they ended up getting us one because it wasn't cooling really well, and we wouldn't have been able to afford to replace it. You know, it was working but not great, and that was a blessing to us. So they helped with things that weren't, you know, extravagant, and my parents were pretty frugal for the most part. You know, they both were very hardworking people. They owned a restaurant, but they both worked there, and very rarely did we hire extra help, even though the restaurant sat about 100 people and they had a lot of takeout orders and things like that. Our family worked there. So I grew up working, I'm not going to say I was the most diligent worker. I liked cooking. I did not like serving. So if my dad would let me cook in the back, I was happy. Those of you that know me know how much I like to cook. So that was always fun for me. But so, you know, they helped where they could. And the other thing I want to tell you, too, is that when we pray, Meredith, because we talked about that at the beginning, it's amazing how the Lord will bless, because I was expecting Nicholas, and we had a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. And, you know, here this baby was coming, and, you know, it was Christina was 12 and Neil was 14 when Nicholas was born. And so, you know, Jeff looked at our house, and Jeff's a builder, and he said, you know, I want to add a second story. Even though we have all this land here, he wanted to go upstairs because he thought that would be the most inexpensive. And so he quoted me a price, and I was like, are you kidding me? You know, is it going to cost that much? And he said, well, we're going to trust the Lord because he gave us, you know, this baby, and, you know, we're going to just trust him. Meredith, to the penny. To the penny, we had the money we needed, and it was $50,000. It wasn't like it was $20,000 or $15,000, because we were planning to take a loan out if we needed to put this addition on, and that was Jeff's cost, you know, to add. I think we added a 1,500 square feet. I'm standing in a room that didn't exist before Nicholas was born. Now it's my office that was Christina's room. And he wanted to add 2 bedrooms. You know, I said, oh, just add one. He said, no, we're adding 2, which thank goodness he did, because we ended up filling every extra bedroom in this house.
Oh.
You know, but, you know, it's amazing, because my parents could have easily, you know, they had talked to me about it, and they said, you know, let us write you a check. And I said, no, we're just going to, you know, Jeff wants to trust the Lord. And so we all joined in prayer. And how much better is that than your parents writing you a check, you know? And so it really just helps, I think, to, you know, increase our faith when we just trust God, and like you did with your daughter's home, you know? And so, you know, those kinds of things are just so exciting. And then we can share about, you know, these amazing miracles, because, you know, after that, we weren't able to bank $50,000, you know, within a few months. You know, it wasn't like, and I kept saying to him, what are you doing differently? And he said, I'm not doing anything differently. I had the same amount of people working. I had the same people I'm working for. It wasn't, you know, he was a subcontractor and was putting, doing the framing on construction sites. So it was just God saying, you know, I'm going to increase your profit here so that, you know, you can have this extra room that you need, and I'll take care of it. So, you know, it was just a reaffirmation. But, you know, I also want to talk about teaching our kids to be independent, because that is so important. Like, I talk to people all the time, Meredith, that will say to me, oh, I've got to get home because I've got to make my kids lunch. Or my nieces, which I dearly love, my 2 nieces. One just graduated with a nursing degree. The other one graduated from high school in 3 years, and she's not sure what she wants to do. Both are very bright girls, but they come to our house, and they can't even make a sandwich. I kid you not. Like, I was teasing my one niece that graduated from high school in 3 years. I said, seriously, you cannot make a sandwich? How can you not? How can any somebody not make a sandwich. Isn't that funny? And so, you know, I was teasing my sister-in-law. I said, you've just spoiled them. I mean, we go to her house and she's trying to spoil us, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, she had three girls, and the oldest doesn't cook. She did marry someone who was a chef, so God prepared for her. How funny is that? But still, you know, how do we teach our children independence? I know your children are very self-sufficient.
Well, I think it just comes early on. When you have a big family, mom can't do everything, so everyone has to pitch in. And I had to, you know, my mom always made me a hot breakfast, but I'll be honest with you, I never have fixed breakfast for my family. They learned very early to get cereal and milk, and that way I could have a quiet time and we could start the day off better. And so my children from very little have learned, you know, when they're old enough to be able to safely cook, they want to cook because they see their brothers and sisters cook, they see mom cook. And so my kids are basically, I cook dinner, but my kids are basically on their own. And then as my girls have gotten older, they want to cook dinner sometimes. So I think as they want to do things, I've let them do things. And, you know, when they reach a point where they start earning money, then they open a bank account. I show them how to, you know, use bank account, how to balance a checkbook. And so I think it's little by little, not all at once. It's not like when they're 17 and you sit them down and teach them a million things. It just all happens a little at a time.
Oh, that's so great. And Denise is sharing in the chat room, I married a chef, asked me who cooks the meals in our house. She goes, honestly, the one thing that I was nervous about the night before my wedding was having to cook all those meals. Oh, funny. Oh, no, I was excited about cooking meals and actually sitting down to dinner. That was one of my favorite things because in a restaurant, you kind of grab food whenever you can. So maybe two or three of you are sitting and eating at 4 o'clock before the rush starts. So that was one of the things I was really, really happy about, that I was actually going to have a dinner time, and that's really important to me. And even with my kids that play sports, which I think is horrible, but during dinner, but we prepare ahead of time so that, you know, that we'll have either meals when we get home or something like tonight is a fajita night. We'll make, you know, or quesadillas, you know, something that is, that will last and taste yummy, you know, if you're eating it on the go or you're going to be eating it later. So that's one of the things that we've just done around here. And, you know, my kids, again, you know, just like you said, I think some of it is self-preservation because I actually began writing, which really astounds me that I did, when I was pregnant with Nicholas. I had already started before I knew I was expecting a baby, which is amazing because, you know, I think back sometimes and I wonder if I would have gone forward with it, Meredith, you know. So I guess the Lord knew, you know, not to let me know that right away. And so I'd already had invested so much into it that I just kept going but not nearly – you know, what it is today. And so, you know, with all of that, you know, if Neil and Christina wanted to eat timely and have lunch timely, I remember that they would make me sandwiches and say, Mom, you know, lunch is ready. And when I get done with this show, my kids will have something down there for me. You know, I sometimes will say, do you want a salad or half a sandwich? And I had a really big breakfast. I was starved this morning.
Aww.
So, you know, I'll probably just have a little salad or something like that. But, you know, I love it that they, you know, take care of me and we discuss what we want to have for meals. And like this morning, you know, Mike said, you know, quesadillas sound good to me. What do you think? You know, he's 13. He just ate breakfast and is hungry. I know your kids are, you know,
amazing.
So yeah, I, each family's different. And, you know, I love that my sister-in-law wanted to spoil her girls. And so, you know, God, we'll take care of that when they decide they want to cook or they're hungry enough, they'll either cook or, you know, eat out. But then again, that's not my deal. So I have enough to worry about with my own family than worrying about everyone else's. So that's just our take on sharing independence. And the final thing we want to share with you, and Meredith, you're the best at this, I have to say, and my husband is the best at this. This is not, I hate to admit it, but we're being real here. This is not my strong suit, and as amazing as it is, because I normally am a cheerleader on certain things, but cheering your kids on. I think that I'm supportive, but I think I forget to be as positive as both you and Jeff are. So you share, you know, what are some ways that you cheer your kids on?
I think the biggest way is reminding your children that they have a call of God and that God is for them, because I think we all forget that. And so I always tell my children, you're awesome. You're a world changer. You're a godly man, Jimmy. You're a beautiful woman of God, Shine. And God has great plans for you, and he's with you, and his favor is on you. And look what God did for you. He's so good. And, you know, I tell Zach and Kate all the time, I say, you are going to have such a beautiful Christian home, and you are going to far excel Daddy and I. You're going to far excel us. You are going to have, you know, godlier children. You're going to have a more peaceful home. There's going to be more joy in your home. You're going to keep going and go places we could never go. And, you know, because God is with you. And I just, everything, I just look at how God has blessed you. Look at what he's done. I'm so proud of you. You've done such a good job. I love the way you do this. I love the way you do that. You know, Juliana, you seem so valued at work, the things that you're sharing with me. I'm so proud of you. I just, I'm so grateful that you're excelling, and what a good example you are for the Lord. And, you know, just things like that, because children need to hear that you're proud of them. They need to hear that, you know, they have a future that is bright and shining. And they need to be reminded that God is blessing them, because sometimes we forget. You know, we're so focused on the problems that we can forget, oh, my goodness, what the Lord did, you know. And so it's important, I think, to constantly remind our children of who they are and what God is doing and what he'll do.
That is so good. And, you know, I do hug them and say I'm proud of them, but I don't list out some things. And I think that is so good to do, because it really makes it more concrete. And also, I think that a lot of times we're just so busy with what is going on, and our kids are as well, and they may not see it as a blessing, because I know that, you know, Jeff's really good at pointing out some things. And also in the evening, we pray as a family, and sometimes it's really late. I'm really tired, and all I want to do is go to bed. But we do. We pray as a family, and then it's not long. You know, it's just a short time. But one of the things we do is we go around, and everybody shares what they're thankful for that day. And, you know, some days it might just be the weather, because it's been a really hard day for some of my children. But at least we're practicing that, you know. And even though they're older now, I mean, my baby is going to be 14, but I still think that is so important, and Jeff does as well, that we do that, and, you know, that we continue to pray as a family, because sometimes we can't all sit down for a meal together because of something else going on, and that is our time to be able to sit down together as a family and just be encouraging to each other. And, you know, it really does help. Well, Meredith, I am delighted to have you here, guys. You can visit Meredith at meredithcurtis.com, and you can find her book link there. And also, Meredith's Finish Well radio show is on this network, so listen in. There are some replays that are available as well. And anything else you wanted to add, Meredith, before we end?
Just to encourage everyone that your children belong to the Lord, and what a glorious moment when you finally get to just turn them back to him and trust him to do great things, and knowing that, you know, they are going to raise godly children to fear and serve the Lord. And so I just want to encourage everyone to keep your eye on the goal and don't give up and don't get discouraged and don't think that if your child is struggling, it's going to be like that forever. Just keep praying, trusting God. And, you know, if you want to visit me, I'd love to, you can find me on Facebook too, Meredith Ludwig Curtis. And thank you again, Felice, for having me here today with you.
Oh, God bless, and I can't wait to see you soon, Meredith.
I know. I'm looking forward to it.
Yay. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.